I'm not quite ready to end that prayer time yet, though. So, Brad, could I get you to come up? Brad has been, well, and Sue have been missionaries for us, coming out of this church for decades. Not that that makes you old or anything. But Brad hasn't, he hadn't quit, you know. And so he's leaving for Mali and this week. And when somebody goes out, I think we need to pray for him. And so I'd like to do that for you. Well, Father, I lift up my brother Brad to you, and I just thank you for how you work through him. And Father, that you're touching so many through him throughout the world, but especially in Mali and here. And so, Father, we thank you for him. And Father, we pray for safety and provision and wisdom and guidance and all of those things as he goes out to continue being your hands and feet. And we lift him up and place him in your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week is when we normally do birthdays, and we will, but Brad's not going to be here next week. And his birthday is this month. So could we sing happy birthday to Brad? Yeah, he made sure. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Thank you, Brad. And thank you for all that you do. It is an encouragement. I want to introduce you to a fellow named Alvin Cobb. And you're going to watch him speak here in a moment. Those of you that may have got the email I sent out said that we have sort of a guest speaker. Well, Alvin's the sort of. Last year when Sue and I, or last March, I guess it was this year, when Sue and I went back to Missouri for John Ray's wedding, and then we were invited to attend a missions conference at Heartland. And Heartland is a very unique place. It is more in the middle of nowhere than Loyalton is. You can't, it's not at the end of the world, but I think you can see it from there. It's out in the middle of all of the rolling hills in Missouri, that cornfields, and all of a sudden you see a sign that says Heartland. You know, this little narrow two-lane road, so you drive in about a half mile, and here's a community of 500, 600 people. There's a little Christian college. There's a K-12 school. They own about 14,000 acres that they farm. Alfalfa, corn, soybean, that type of thing. But it is a planned community. There are communities that are planned for retirement or golf or whatever. This is a planned Christian community. And everything gets pointed to that. Everyone goes to the same church, as do others from the community. But the church is basically the gymnasium of the school. And they do a tremendous amount of mission work, including this mission conference. People from all over the world were there. I think 16 countries were represented. And the foundation that they have covers the cost for the people to come and go. I mean, it's not necessarily something that, I'd like to go, but I can't afford it. No, we want you here. There's a gentleman who has been coming for several years, and this is Alvin. And I thought he and his wife were called up on stage and just to share a little bit, and you're going to see a portion of that here in a moment. I believe that it fits wonderfully with what we've been talking about over the last few weeks and we'll be continuing to talk about. See, it's not so much that we want you to think about outreach. I mean, we do, but more so that we are following what God would have us do, not just as a church, but individually, how we live. And so I'm going to let you hear a fellow who's been in the mission field a while. The first little bit of it, it'll give you an opportunity to to get to know Alvin a little bit, and then we'll go from there. So, Gary, you would?
But we're blessed. This year, my wife will celebrate her 88th birthday. I will celebrate my 87th. And then we will celebrate our 62nd wedding anniversary on my birthday. So, this year, we will be celebrating 50 years on the mission field also. Three years in Madagascar in Africa, 10 years in Germany, 17 years in Hong Kong, and now 18 years in Thailand. And we're just looking for new ground. I'm shooting for 105, unless they take my driver's license away. Then I want to go home. But we're blessed. We're blessed. And the longer I serve the Lord, the more in awe I become, and the more like Him I want to be. Now when I walk down the street, we live right in the middle of a Muslim community. The mosque is down in the end of our street, and they come back and forth, and these imams, they will be a row of 12 of them, and the one from the front is the leader, of course, and they all fell down. And when they come by my door one day, I saw them. I said, Salama! And they stopped, and they looked, and they smiled, and they all just... And then later on, when they're coming back, I saw them sneaking, looking down in my window, see if they could see me. But you know, I learned something a long time ago. I think I shared it here one time up in China. I was in Beijing looking for a man, and I ended up on the Beijing Beidou University campus. Couldn't find anybody to help me. I had a card with a name and address and everything on it, phone numbers. And so I come out to this one building. I saw a young lady walking across the campus, and I ran out to meet her, and I said, can you help me? I'm looking for this man. And I gave her the 3x5 card. And she took and looked at it. And then she said in perfect English, I'm sorry, sir, you're in the wrong place. This is Beidou University. You want the Language Institute. It's on the other side of town. That was 2.5 hours bus ride away. And I found out later it was about 2 blocks from my hotel. But I thought I was in the wrong place, but I wasn't. And I asked her what her name was. Her name was Pudan. And I asked her, how do I get to the Language Institute? She says, you take bus number 9. I says, good. How do I get bus number 9? And she smiled and said, that's the difficult part. There's no way I can tell you how to go, but I'll take you. I says, do you have the time? She said, yes, I have the time. I'll take the time. And besides, I can practice my English. I said, young lady, your English doesn't need any practice. You're speaking perfect English. And how is that? Well, she said, I was a 4-year English major at this university, and I had American teachers. And we started walking along. And as we walked, we were talking, and she said, what do you do? Oh, I said, I'm a teacher. Oh, she said, wonderful. What do you teach? I said, I teach people about God. And we were walking pretty fast, and she put her hand out and stopped and said, no, no, that's not possible. Nobody can know God. I said, would you like to know God? And her eyes filled up with tears. And she said, yes, oh, yes, but nobody can know God. I said, yes, God gave us a book, tells us how much He loves us and how He wants us to live. And she said, oh, where would a person ever get a book like that? It was in my backpack. Pulled out a New Testament in English and Chinese, and I handed it to her. And she backed up and said, no, no, no. I can't take that. It must be too valuable. I said, please take it. It's a gift from God and a gift from me. Please take it. As we walked along, I underlined the English side of the scriptures showing the whole plan of salvation. But when I was writing a book about her, I just recalled the look on her face when she took that Bible. A look of awe and wonder, and she just looked like she was getting a treasure. And she was. She was. We got to the bus stop, and I was underlining more scriptures for her and talking to her. And while I was doing that, she said, "Oh." And I looked up, and she said, "Here comes your bus." And then she reached out and touched my arm and said, "Please, can you wait for the next bus?" I waited for 5 more buses. That encounter changed the way I approach people and look at people. Now when I see people, I see a creation of God that he loved. Every creature that we meet, God created for his glory and for his. And we should honor everyone in that very sense that they were created by our God. I don't care who they are, what they call themselves, and what country they're from, or what their religion is, or if they have none at all. We need to recognize them as God's creation. He loves them. God so loved the world that he gave himself only for Christians. For all of us. And it's been 63 years since I first gave my heart to him. And the path grows brighter and brighter. And I want to live longer and longer and to be able to share. You see, God is not looking for super saints. He's looking for everyday people to serve him. Taxi drivers, bus drivers, semi drivers, doctors, even lawyers, Dave. And teachers. And, you know, everybody, he just wants people to acknowledge him and recognize him, and he recognizes them. And actually, Paul said we should be living quiet lives, working with our hands, that we may be able to provide for those who do not have. That's what Paul said. And so when you walk along and see God's creation on every hand, every side of you, recognize it. Not as strangers, but one of God's creatures that he loves. He made them for himself. They just don't know it sometimes, most of the time. And we have to accept them right where they are. No demands, no conforming. Just be who you are in Jesus Christ and minister to their spirit. You know, you could be a blessing with a smile. Just a nod of the head. Recognizing that as a human being, a person, you'll be amazed at the response and the smiles that come sometimes just by recognizing they are a human being. You don't just pass them by like they don't exist. And I find out that you will have more friends, more people looking to you and coming to you, not only for advice, but for fellowship. And then you can share your love for the Lord Jesus and what he's done for you. So do that, and God will bless you.
Pretty incredible fella, isn't he? I picked out some things from that I want to emphasize. And maybe we ought to say, well, what is it that we need to do to be blessed? And I think acknowledging God. And how do we do that? Well, part of that is looking at his creation, acknowledging what he's created. And most importantly, perhaps, acknowledging that part of that creation is you and me and other people. Regardless of background, regardless of where they live or how they live, They're still God's creation. And as he put it, that we should honor in the very sense that they were created by our God. God's not looking for super saints. I appreciated, Sue, what you had to say earlier. Sometimes we get judgmental about ourselves, that we are not worthy. And then sometimes we get judgmental about other people. Oh, look at that bum. He's not worthy. Well, the truth of the matter is, none of us are worthy of ourselves. But in Christ, we are. It's nothing we do that makes us worthy. Sharing our love for Jesus and what he's done for us, that really sums it up. And one of the things that Mr. Cobb mentioned that I really appreciated right at the beginning, it said, the more I serve him, the more in awe of him that I am. If you want to be more in awe of God, serve him more. And he reveals himself to you more and more. And the more that you serve him, the more like him you'll become. It is an everyday thing. And I think, well, I'm not going to say think. I know in my life, and I'm pretty sure in your life, you pass up opportunities to be his hands and feet. You pass up everyday opportunities. Simple things like simply asking that girl for help. See where that led. And so I want you to think for a moment about the last week or two, and what is it, an everyday opportunity that you had to be God's hands and feet that just sort of came up? Doesn't have to be elaborate or anything. So I want you to think about that. And furthermore, I want you to share it. So Gary, if you would, you're going to get a little 3x5 card. You don't have to put your name on it, but I would like everyone in here to write down an opportunity they had in the last couple of weeks to serve God. Just what was it? Just short. Because I think, you know, this is going to then be evolve into something from there. What I hope we're able to do is to share some of these thoughts so that we all become more aware of simple opportunities that we all have. And it may be something that seems rather mundane. That's okay. There doesn't have to be fireworks or anything that went off. But an opportunity, whether it was to share Jesus, whether it was to help him, to help someone, just simple opportunities. So if you take a moment or two and just jot down something. Note that I didn't say it had to be an opportunity that you took advantage of either. I can look back at so many opportunities that I didn't step out and take advantage of. As you leave today, Ed, maybe I could get you to have people hand these to you and then give them to me. I think it important that we get into a habit of looking for opportunities. They're there. And I think part of that habit needs to be praying and saying, God, how would you have me meet this opportunity? sometimes an opportunity to share your love of Jesus pops up, and we don't recognize it because we're not in the habit of looking for it. And I think part of that also goes along with the idea that we don't always acknowledge our love for Jesus. That we need to be conscious of that and what he did for us. You know, as we go into a time of communion here in a moment, I really appreciated the song set this morning and some of the words that were there. And I was thinking as we were singing, and I was thinking about this opportunity today to share with you a little bit and the opportunities that I'm given to serve God and how he's blessed me in so many ways. In so many ways I haven't acknowledged. I am so undeserving of that. Shouldn't that inspire me to love Jesus? That he first loved me? And that love he has for me, to return it to him, part of that is doing his will. And we are his hands and feet here. There's opportunities here. And it's not just for someone who happens to be able to get up here and speak and is privileged to do that, or to travel to do different things for him. It really is about what we have to do, each one of us, every day, what we need to do, acknowledging him, love him, and just sharing who you are in Christ. So maybe the real question for the day is for you to think about, who are you in Christ? You know, it's Fellowship Sunday. And I think sometimes even that word, you know, Fellowship Sunday, okay, well, we're going to have communion, we're going to have something to eat, we're going to get together, we'll visit a little bit. And that's all right, but sometimes we even forget what its purpose is. What is the purpose of that fellowship? Well, the purpose is that we might encourage one another, that we might be sharing who we are in Jesus Christ with each other. And that, so I would really encourage you to go out to Annie's and have some time of fellowship with people to encourage them and to be encouraged yourself. I would encourage you that as we meet together on Fellowship Sundays, that you be that shining light, not just for those who may not know him, but for each other. We all need encouragement. And maybe most importantly, that we're here not just to have fellowship with each other, but to have fellowship with our God. And that fellowship, he's given us a way to do that, an ordinance. I appreciate what he said as he was preparing for his Last Supper. He said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. Been eager to have fellowship with his disciples. He's eager to have fellowship with us too. Father, we just thank you for sending your son and how you silenced the boast of the sin and the grave. We thank you for sending your son to set us free, and we are free indeed. And we eat this in remembrance of him. In Jesus' name, let's eat it together. Father, we're under attack all the time to make us believe that we're not worthy, that you're against us. But Father, we thank you that you are for us and not against us. And Father, we thank you that we are chosen, not forsaken. Oh, Father, as we drink this cup, we remember the sacrifice that was given so that we are set free. We thank you for that in your Son's name and to whom we drink. Amen. Father, we thank you that you give us unity through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you allow us to come into your presence through him. And Father, as we go about this week, I just pray that you would give us fellowship with others and that you would show us your opportunities to serve you and to draw closer to you. Now, Father, we just ask a blessing on the meal out at Annie and Craig's. And Father, we just pray that you'll be with all as we travel. In Jesus' name, amen.